kind of hear an echo, Michelle, but it's I can hear you okay.
Okay. I guess it's Michael I can't hear very well. I hear you okay.
I'm on a car speakerphone right now. I'll be off that in a few minutes.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tisha, for making some changes to this. I feel pretty good about the list we have now. Unfortunately, I did not get back and link all of these up with the questions, which is what I had planned to do. I just didn't get to it. So maybe we can spend a little bit doing a few of those together, if you're up for that, or discuss anything, any other changes to this or anything else that you wanted to have a look at. I'm sorry, I didn't try that score today.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I'm late. Is everybody there?
Yep.
Okay, good. I screwed up. I copied the phone number and I had it copied wrong. So anyway, so you found the way in and we're all set, huh?
Yep.
What's that?
We've started recording also.
Okay, great.
So I was just saying, Gal, that I received Tisha's update to the concept table, but that I haven't yet gone back and tried to link those to the questions like I had done originally.
Right.
I haven't updated yet. So maybe we can give the final go-ahead on the order of this table so that that's linking them with the questions is doable.
Right, yeah, and I have a couple of teeny suggestions for some wording and so forth. And there was one question, I think, on SAMP 5, whether we want to keep that in or not.
Okay, so shall we start maybe just by going back through the list with the most updated, and Dale, you can add your suggestions? I can type on the one I have since Michael's in the car.
Do we have the same one here? I have one dated 18th May, so it's probably the latest.
Yeah, I think that's the latest one.
Yeah, that's the one I have, the one that Tisha sent out.
Yeah, that had some edits and stuff in, I think, and then I just accepted all edits. And I'm going from
Michael, have you done anything else?
I haven't done anything else with that. I had made some changes earlier in the paper that I should probably send to either Tisha or Melissa. Tisha or Michelle.
Okay.
Just so that
well,
we
could do it that way too. If they're just minor things, we might be able just to go through it quickly now. Or do you have more major things?
It was just a whole bunch of minor things that it's probably better for just someone to look at and accept. I don't know that we need group discussion about.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I was going to say I would also put the question out. Either before or after we do the table. I don't really care, but. There was some discussion last time about whether we really needed to go back and redo the table that links all the items or whether just the paper bringing together the literature pieces was sufficient and whether we needed to even introduce the assessment items. And I have mentioned before, my fear is that we're going to redo the table and then find out that we don't have assessment items that relate to a lot of our new points. And so then what? I don't think we want to spend the time and recreate a whole bunch of assessment items for now.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I think if we do have quite a bit with the lit review and with this table. And I agree. I think putting together the full scale is going to be a much bigger job. I mean, we're ways off from having that done.
So for a potential paper, then, we just want to talk about understanding these, analyzing more of the prerequisite concepts based on the lit review, and then saying that our next step is to develop assessment items, that we've started it and done a first pilot, but now they need to be improved based on the further detail we've come up with or something along those lines.
Yeah, how does that sound for a paper? Do you think that is that something that we can that would be a good contribution? I think it would be.
I think it would be too. I think also, the framing of it as, we've taken what you know, we've taken and modified what other people have done, but also brought them all together and made it one cohesive set of prerequisites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bob has said it many times that a lot of papers that they write together, the first paper on a project is often a lit review, and then you set up what you're planning to do next. And I agree with
Okay, well, that sounds good to me. Now, the only challenge on this, certainly for a paper, I think that's fine. The only thing that I'm thinking in terms of for presentation this summer is based on our abstract, we talk about the assessment items. So we'll just have to gear the presentation to the fact that we had these ideas, we came up with some assessment items, and through doing that and then further refining these prerequisite concepts, came to the conclusion that there's really a lot more to each concept than we were capturing, and so we're now in the process of revising our items or something along those lines, just because our whole the presentation is based on the assessment tool.
I think that's fine. You know, for a presentation, it makes it interesting to have some examples of items that you can talk about. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure I can make it work.
Yeah.
So should we try to go through the table? I'm going to go ahead and do accept all changes as well, because it's how can I do that?
Otherwise.
Accept. Okay.
All right, so I'm actually at home and at my computer now.
Okay.
So, Michelle,
you didn't even hit door slam. That was very smooth, Michael.
Okay. Well, do we have anything on the first step, the SDs?
So, we have
the SDs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, on SAMP 4.
The only one that I'm thinking maybe we need to add something is SD3, the way they're numbered here, where it says the sampling distribution is a theoretical unobserved distribution based on all possible samples of a given size, while a sample is a single set of observed data. Do we want to say anything about that based on the sample statistics from all possible samples of a given size? Or is that too much?
Wait, which one are you looking at?
The one that's after you accept all changes, it's SD3. We just say it's an unobserved distribution based on all possible samples of a given size. So do we need to say that it's based on the theoretical unobserved distribution of the sample statistics based on all possible samples of a given size or something like that?
Yeah, I agree, because it just says a sampling distribution is a theoretical unobserved distribution. It doesn't say of what? Unobserved distribution of a sample statistic based on all possible samples. Well, sample is single set. Yeah, I think if we just insert an unobserved distribution and say of a sample statistic.
Okay, that sounds good to me. Michael Fisher?
That's fine with me.
I have to have a distribution of something.
It's getting wordy, but it's more complete.
Yeah. Well, it is a question of whether it's combining two different things, whether we should separate those two things. Because the first part is a complete thought.
Well, between SD3 and SD2, We've got SD2, where you're trying to distinguish between the population and the distribution of a sample statistic.
Uh-huh.
And in SD3, we're trying to distinguish between a sampling distribution and the distribution of a sample.
Right. And that, and that.
And the only thing we're wondering is, did we say anywhere that the sampling distribution is the distribution of a sample statistic? SD4 says it for the mean.
It might make sense to do kind of parallel to what we did with number one. We've got a sample statistic, and we should, I mean, we should define what a sampling distribution is. And that's kind of a separate issue from how it's different from the others. Although I know what we were doing is that we were concerned that the biggest problem students often have is distinguishing among these three distributions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, would it be cleaner just to have three separate points, each one? Well, sampling distribution is only one of those three, and I suppose it is the contrast of sampling distributions with each of the others. Maybe the definition of sampling distribution first, and then the two points where we distinguish sampling distributions from each of the others. And so this thought would be to start with the, what's in the sampling distribution 3, to define the sampling distribution, and then go to the contrast between sampling distribution and sampling distribution and population.
So I think Dale proposing to take what's listed as SD3 now and making it SD2.
Yeah, or even maybe SD1. Well, the first part of
okay.
it. The first part of it, which is the definition.
So
I'm not saying let's do this, but I'm just thinking the way we've done some of these others is we start with a definition of the concept that we're dealing with as a first point.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can use that definition, that term, to make contrast with other things.
Mm-hmm. So we can take SD3, move it up, and define it. And how did you get it? The sampling distribution is a theoretical observed distribution of
statistic based on all possible samples of a given size, period.
Period. Okay.
Yeah. And then a new
and then,
yeah.
And then SD2, which would now be SD3, I guess, would be instead of moving something, I deleted something. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe the current SD2 would be a nice one to have as the next point.
Okay. And when we say the distribution of the underlying population is distinct from the distribution of a sample statistic, and we've just defined above the distribution of a sample statistic as the sampling distribution, do we want to use the same words there?
Maybe the same words would be better, yeah.
Yeah.
So we change distribution of underlying population is distinct from the sampling distribution. Okay.
Or maybe even switch those around. The distribution of a sample statistic is distinct from the distribution of the underlying population. To put the focus more on the distribution.
Okay. For the sampling distribution, then, should we call it?
Yeah, maybe that. I think it'd be good to be consistent with the language.
Is distinct from the distribution of the underlying population. the two may have different shapes and dispersions. Okay. That sound good to everybody?
Mm-hmm. Are you going to have another separate concept to distinguish the sampling distribution from a single set of observed data as well?
Right.
Yeah, because that's what we got rid of, isn't it? Yeah. Okay.
So the other question I have then, if we're moving back to the very beginning, when I look at what was originally SD1 in this document, I'm not sure how that fits in. If we have 1, 2, and 3 with what we've just discussed, then I think it sounds kind of strange, personally, to come back and say a sample statistic is random.
I was thinking keep 1 and make what we were just discussing as 2, 3, 4.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because I agree.
Okay.
I think it makes sense to start with what's a sample statistic and then afterwards talk about the distribution of all sample statistics. Okay.
I that makes some sense, too. Okay. Trying to move these things around.
Well, of course, you will get them a whole.
All right. Every time I go to insert, a row, it makes me a really, really, really narrow, tiny row. And doesn't.
It did that to me yesterday, too. I don't know why.
Very bizarre. Okay.
I mean, something in this document.
Yes.
It's funny, I just moved some of these around a minute ago, and now I'm trying to do it, and I can't get it to go.
Okay, well, afterwards we can do the details. It's silly for all three of us to be working on it.
Well, if it would work, it would be nice. But
with a rail, it'll increase size.
Okay, good. So we've got then sort of definition of sample statistic, then we've got a definition of the sampling distribution, then we've got how it's distinct from the population, and then we should next have how it's distinct from a sample, right?
Yeah. And then after that, that the distribution of the sample mean is a distribution of all possible sample means, so then we get specific about a particular sampling distribution. And then after that, the mean of the sampling distribution is the same as the mean of the population.
That's still
SD. What was that, Michael?
So that's SD5, you're saying?
Yeah.
Now will it be 6, 7, and 8, though? Is that right?
Yeah.
What are you adding as 5, then?
See, what was the one that we added in? I mean, we took out
is that the sampling distribution is distinct from the distribution of a single sample.
Okay.
Distribution of a sample.
What was that, Michael?
Yeah, I'm having trouble hearing you, or understanding you.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. What does that mean, the distribution of a sample?
The empirical distribution of a single sample? It's just like when you plot...
A sample from a population and what shape that has?
Right, a single sample.
Right. I'm just still envisioning the Soker or Rice University applet where you draw a sample.
Yeah.
And what you're looking at there is the distribution of your single sample. And then you calculate the sample statistic and let it fall down, and then underneath you're building up the sampling distribution. So I'm looking at that second graph. You have the top one is the population.
Right.
So how do you describe
that? I don't usually refer to that as the distribution of a sample, though. Because I don't know that samples don't have distributions.
Oh, really? Yeah, well, I would think they do. I mean, they sure could have a shape. They've got a mean, a variance. I mean, you could plot out your sample data. It'd be an empirical distribution.
Well, I mean, but it's the same as the population distribution, just coarser, and you know, could vary somewhat from that by random chance.
But it's not the population distribution.
Correct. But I always refer to it as, you know, the sample that you choose. I feel like saying that that's the distribution adds to the confusion of it.
Well, I think we're getting at sort of the heart of the confusion in that when students see it, it's a distribution, right? I mean, they look at it, and it looks very much like a population distribution.
I think the issue I'm having, and I don't disagree with what you're saying. It is a distribution because it has, you know, a shape and a spread and et cetera. But you can't predict what it's going to look like. If you know the underlying distribution of the data, you can predict what the sampling distribution of the mean is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot, you know, under certain conditions. But you cannot predict what that distribution is going to look like.
But when I'm thinking about the questions that we had on the assessment for the sampling distribution, we asked them two things. We asked them, one, what would look like the distribution for the sample mean for samples of size 1, and then for samples of size, I think it was 16 or something like that.
Yep.
Well, the one
yep.
samples of size 1 is really just you're asking them to look at a sample of 500 individual items. And so we're expecting that to look like the distribution of the population.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, and don't we kind of ask them which of these distributions is most likely to be the distribution of 500 samples of size 1 or something like that? I can't remember exactly how we phrased the question. But I feel like the way we phrase the question, we treat that. It's a single sample, but we treat it as a distribution.
Yeah, it's a distribution.
But I question whether it's really a sampling distribution or whether that's a sampling issue.
I think this is an important issue. I mean, maybe in this point is a good place to put it, where we say the sampling distribution is distinct from the distribution of a single sample. The sampling distribution is... I can't put this in simple words right now, but it's theoretically a one constant distribution where sample distributions vary. Each time you draw a sample, you get a different sample, and that's kind of Michael's point. But that might be exactly the distinction we want people to see here, is that the sampling distribution is always one thing, theoretically one thing, whereas sample distributions vary. We do get at that a bit when we talk about sampling. We, you know, SAMP 3 says samples vary and therefore sample statistics vary.
So what if rather than calling it a sample distribution, because that's so close to sampling distribution, what if we think about another name for it and call it the distribution of a single choice of a sample or something like that?
Yeah.
That's too wordy.
Oh, you did say a single sample of observed data.
Yeah, the distribution of observed data from a single sample.
Okay, I mean, that sounds better to me.
Yeah.
How did you just word that, Dale?
So the distribution of I guess the cases from a single...
Of observed, you said the distribution of observed data.
That's it, the distribution of observed data from a single sample.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then.
And do we need to say right in there how they're different? Getting at Michael's point that the samples vary a lot and you get different shapes of distribution that are not always the same thing. or is that just, we may not say that.
I don't think we have to say that, actually. I think that'll be complicated.
Yeah.
I think what we're just trying to say here that they... Here again, I mean, the sampling distribution will have different shape and dispersion from the distribution of observed data, but, you know, do we want to then add a third point, you know, kind of close the loop and say the population in a single sample should have similar shapes? Well, you know, that's a hard call because if you're taking small samples, they're not really going to look that similar, even though
right. One
really is drawn from the other.
Yeah. Well, actually, here where we say the two distributions may have different shapes and dispersions, we could actually stick in here. It's also true they may have different centers as well as different shapes and dispersions. That's a different difference from sampling distributions and population distributions where they do have the same mean. But sample distributions, well, distributions of observed data may have even a different mean from the sampling distribution.
Well, they almost certainly will, but just because of, you
yeah.
know, that's
but,
how
I mean,
the sample varies around it.
If we say the two distributions may have different shapes and dispersions, that almost implies that they have the same means, but they don't. So if we're going to make the statement that they may have different shapes and dispersions, we should probably stick in there different means, shapes, and dispersions.
But for SDC... The mean of the sampling distribution is the mean of the population.
Right. But if we're talking about the distribution of observed data from a single sample, I'm just making a distinction between...
Yeah.
Earlier, we said the two... When we talked about SD2, we said the two distributions may have different shapes and dispersions, which is true. They have the same mean. But now, if we're going to say the two distributions may have different shapes and dispersions, we would also want... put in there, they may have different means.
Now, I would look at it, I see your point, but when I think of the confusion between the sampling distribution and the distribution of a single sample, I think it comes more from a linguistic point of view. I think people get confused more through the language than from the conceptual, whereas I think the sampling distribution and the distribution of the underlying population is good to give a little bit more detail because I think those get more confused conceptually. I think the second issue is more of a linguistic one.
So maybe just leave off the...
I would just leave it.
The two distributions may be different in shape and so forth. Leave that off.
For the one about the sampling distribution and a single sample, I would just say they're distinct. To sort of draw attention to the fact that they're not the same thing without saying in all the different ways that they could be distinct.
Okay. Yeah. Probably, if we can, keeping these principles, concepts relatively simple. You know, they're confusing enough.
Yeah, I still wonder whether part of this discussion belongs in sampling instead of sampling distribution.
Well, but the distinction between the sampling distribution and a distribution of observed data, we can't make that until we've got the sampling distribution. I mean, we need the sampling distribution there. And it is a key issue. But you're right. I mean, there is a lot of overlap among these concepts, for sure.
So can we fold that into a... part of sampling distributions rather than making it its own?
Continue? I mean, what are you saying? Folding?
What do you mean? Yeah, I don't understand what you mean.
Well, I mean, we had, and I don't have the new ones that Michelle's working, that Michelle's typing, but our old SD2 was the sampling distribution is a theoretical unobserved distribution based on all possible samples of a given size, while a sample is a single set of observed data.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of addresses that concept of the distribution of a observed data of a single sample.
Yeah, you're right.
So rather than give it its own concept, in sampling distributions, let's define the sampling distribution as sampling distributions, and then make a note, or make a, you know, the second sentence of that can be how that relates to sampling.
Well, I see there's two different points, and also we would want to make the distinction of how it differs from the population, and we're giving that its own point.
Well, but we're not ever asking them about the population.
I
know. I'm still stuck on the fact that that second, you know, in the soccer rice applet, that second line is about sampling. It's a combination of sampling and you know, it's a distribution, so maybe there's some distributional thinking about it as well, but it's not a sampling distribution of a sample mean. I mean, my understanding is when we use the word sampling distribution, we're talking about sampling distribution of a sample mean.
Right. Or of any sample, here in particular of the mean, yeah.
Well, but for us, right, for us, it's of the sample mean.
Right.
And by that logic, then a single observed sample, unless you're saying you just want the mean of it, you know, which is what that little blue marker does on the applet, or whatever color it is, you know, it's not a sampling distribution concept. Sampling.
No, I think our goal here was just to make sure, originally the goal here was to make sure that students could distinguish between the three things separately, the population, a single sample, and the sampling distribution. And I think when you just reread that SD2, where he says the sampling distribution is theoretical unobserved distribution of a sample statistic based on all possible samples of a given size, while a sample is a single set of observed data, or something like, whereas a sample is a single set of observed data. I think that actually does make the distinction that we're trying to get at in the one we're discussing right now. By saying the sampling distribution is distinct from the distribution of observed data of a single sample, what you're saying, Michael, I think, is that we don't need to talk about the distribution of that observed data. Let's just say we've got sampling distribution versus a single set of observed data, which is one sample. So maybe we don't need this extra sentence about the distribution of that one sample. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes.
I'd buy that. I think that's reasonable.
Well,
and if we want to talk about the distribution of that single sample, we can talk more about it, but in the sampling section.
Mm-hmm. Or in the distribution section, which is one of the things Tisha was talking about when we talk about what's an empirical distribution as opposed to a theoretical distribution. The distribution of a sample is an empirical distribution.
Right. Okay, so we're combining the definition then with a contrast. I mean, that's okay. It's got a couple of different things in it. The alternative would be to give the definition and then do the contrast as a separate point, but we can do it this way, too.
Okay, yeah, I see. Because you're saying that when we define the sampling distribution in the same sentence as the definition, we're saying as opposed to a sample.
Right, and that's just one opposition, and then later on we show the opposition to a population distribution.
Mm-hmm. In the second concept.
Yeah. Well, we're getting the points in there.
You
know, different ways one can do it.
Well, I think now the order that they're in makes more sense. We've got, in the first one, we define a sample statistic. In the second one, we define sampling distribution. At the same time, we make it distinct from a single sample. In the third one, we say the sampling distribution is distinct from the population. The fourth one, we bring it down to the specific case that the sampling distribution of the sample mean is the distribution of all possible sample means for a given sample. So it's basically we're taking the second one and putting it in a specific context of the sample mean. Then In the fifth one, we're a bit more general, although it applies to the mean, which is the mean of the sampling distribution is the same as the mean of the population. And then the last two, we talk about the dispersion of the sampling distribution and the shape of the sampling distribution. So the first four are more about what is it and what is it different from. So we're sort of defining it in terms of what it's also different from, which should be reference points. The students, by the time they get to this, should understand what a population distribution is and should be familiar with looking at a distribution of a single set of empirical data. So now, by adding this new concept of a sampling distribution, we're helping them to define it as distinguishing it from these other two, which I think makes sense.
Yeah, the logic is really good, I think. How does your the new revised, the SD2, the one that starts with a sampling distribution, the theoretical,
what I've written now is the sampling distribution is a theoretical, observed distribution of a sample statistic based on all possible samples of a given size, whereas a sample is a single set of observed data.
Okay.
That was the original SD2, right?
Yes, which I just changed the while to whereas.
Okay.
Which is pretty trivial.
Yeah.
Tisha, what's your feeling on that?
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I'm just struggling overall with the overlap everywhere and taking these concepts and putting them in only one place in our table. It's just difficult to do.
I agree, but I also do think that here, I like the idea that by defining a sampler distribution as distinct from these other two things that they should be familiar with from understanding distributional thinking in the prerequisites, this should be a natural next level step. Mm-hmm. So it would seem to me to almost be help support the idea that, well, if you can't understand distribution, you're going to have a real hard time understanding sampling distribution because you have to understand it as distinct from other types of distribution.
Are we ready to move on and look at the sampling ones?
Nah. Yeah, I think we are. Oh, excuse me just a second. Lisa, honey, can you please get the door? Okay, sorry. Okay, so sample. For the first one, we've got a random sample is one in which each unit of the population is equally likely to be chosen. I put in parentheses and all samples of a given size are equally likely. Should we just keep that without the parentheses? Or should we get rid of it? What do you think about that?
I think it's an important concept, and it's part of the definition, or could be considered that. I would think keep it in without the parentheses. Or is it too
But if we take off the parentheses and just say, like, you know, thus, all samples of a given size are equally likely.
I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There's tomatoes and mozzarella, and you can do a scrambled egg. Okay, sorry. Welcome to my home, everybody.
That's right. That's good.
Okay. So a random sample is one in which each unit of the population is equally likely to be chosen, thus all samples of a given size are equally likely. Okay. Is that true? Does one follow from the other mathematically? Is it possible to have a sample in which every element is equally likely to be chosen, but not all? subsamples are?
It wouldn't be a simple random sampling procedure, but maybe some other kinds of...
Right.
Like a systematic sample before you start.
Yeah, there are various kinds of stratified samplings and whatever that might mm-hmm. be complicated, but maybe not say thus. We could have a separate sentence. Is it equally likely to be chosen, period, all samples of a given size are equally likely? I don't know.
You're right. We're talking about a simple random sample here.
We are, yeah.
But we don't say that, do we?
Right.
No. Should we say a simple random sample?
Well, so the second one, all samples of a given size are equally likely, is what's referred to as probability sampling, right?
Well, it would be with a simple sample that would follow. I'm just thinking of some kinds of stratified samples that wouldn't necessarily follow.
Right.
Yeah. So should we just get rid of it?
Might be cleaner.
It's simpler to not have it, I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, what if we just define all of our random sampling as simple random sampling and limit ourselves to that case? Mm-hmm. And so we change number one to a simple random sample. There's one where each unit of the population is equally likely to be chosen, just leave it at that.
Okay.
Can we put the word simple in parentheses?
Gosh, I don't know how technically we want to get it, how complicated. You know, it's somewhat similar to the notion that when we talk about sampling distributions, we really are limiting ourselves to sampling distributions of the mean.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want to be talking about other kinds of sampling distributions. And I think here we don't want to be talking about other kinds of random sampling.
Right. So we are talking about a simple random sample.
Yeah. We are talking about random samples. Yeah. Okay. So simple random sample is one in which each unit of population is equally likely to be chosen.
Right.
And there are other properties of it, but maybe we don't actually need to say that here. I mean,
Of course, other random sampling procedures also lead equally likely every unit is equally likely to be chosen.
So if we call it a simple random sample, then perhaps we should say that all samples of a given size are equally likely.
Yeah, I think all samples of a given size is a more general statement, is a broader statement. Because each unit of the population is equally likely to be chosen, that could be a systematic random sample.
Right.
If you have 100 people and you're selecting a sample of size 10, you randomly pick a number from 1 to 10
right.
and then get everybody with that terminal digit.
Right.
But all samples of a given size are equally likely of a stronger statement.
Right. So since we're specifying a simple random sample, then we should put that in. Because it's true for a simple random, it's not true for all random samples.
Well, so I wonder if we can make that statement instead. Can we just say a simple random sample is one where all samples of a given size are equally likely to be chosen?
Are you saying to leave the...
That would be maybe a good way to do it.
Michael?
Take out the first part of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So a simple random sample is one in which all samples of a given size are equally likely to be chosen. And drop off the part about each unit of the population
yeah.
is equally likely.
Because
that's a stronger statement to make, and I think we're in agreement that we're limiting ourselves to a simple random sample.
Oh, yeah. And that's actually what we care about, because then after that we want to say if all samples are equally likely, then all sample mean, you know, there's all these different possible sample means, and this also gets at why it's fair. So, yeah, I think that makes sense. You forget the first part and just put the stronger part, the one that actually makes a random sample uniquely a simple random sample. Okay.
Let's say a simple random sample is one in which all samples of a given size are equally likely
to be chosen or equally likely to be drawn or something like that. Or equally likely.
Equally likely to be chosen, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good to me.
Okay.
because it also just recalls the idea that, okay, you select one sample, but they're all equally likely to be the one that's selected. Okay. So in the second one, we're trying to get the idea of it being fair, because this is what, in the lit review, there was some, a good bit of discussion about students having a hard time believing that a random sample is actually fair. So we've got the method of random sampling is the fairest method because random samples are unbiased. They're theoretically representative of the population. Do we want to say unbiased and theoretically representative of the population instead of two sentences?
It doesn't matter to me, that part.
And should I get rid of what's in parentheses? Should we get rid of what's in parentheses about being an efficient method of collecting an unbiased sample?
Yeah, I think that opens up another whole complication.
Yeah, we don't really care about efficiency here.
Yeah.
Right. I agree.
Me too.
Okay, so without that, we leave it as is. Method of random sampling is the fairest method because random samples are unbiased. Do we want to say fairest, or do we want to just say fair? Are we going to get ourselves into a hole? Is it?
Yeah, I don't like the word fair.
Yeah, based on what, like, criteria?
What if we say the method of random sampling is unbiased?
Is unbiased, yeah.
Or random sampling produces unbiased estimates. We haven't defined an estimate yet.
I think you can say the method of random sampling is unbiased.
What if you say random sampling is an unbiased method?
Mm-hmm.
Or the method of random sampling is unbiased. Yeah, that's fine too.
Either one.
Yeah.
Yep.
The method of random sampling is unbiased.
Right.
Do we want a second sentence that says random samples are theoretically representative of the population?
Yeah.
And do we want to say random sampling or method of simple random sampling?
I'm okay with just leaving it with random sampling.
Samples. Yeah, just random samples. I think that's a good word.
Okay.
Now, just to go back to point the first one just briefly, where we say a simple random sample, the sample there is a noun. A sample is one in which all samples of a given size are equally likely. That implies a verb or something. I mean, it's a sampling procedure, a simple random sampling. I mean, we can't say that one is one in which all are equally likely.
Right.
Simple random.
So the method of simple random sampling is one in which?
That would be better, yeah. Okay. The method.
Okay, the method of simple random sampling is one in which all samples of a given size are equally likely to be chosen. Okay. The method of random sampling is unbiased. Random samples are theoretically representative of the population. Okay, then we get to the third one, which is samples vary, and therefore sample statistics will vary.
We could drop the word will. We just say samples vary, therefore sample statistics vary.
Sounds good.
Yep. And here we haven't actually defined what a sample statistic is, but it is defined in SV1.
Right.
So now the question is, do we want SV1, where we define a sample statistic, to be part of sampling distribution or part of sampling?
Well,
Well, it's not directly part of sampling, because you can do sampling without calculating a sample statistic.
But under sampling, we're talking about, since samples change, sample statistics change.
So maybe we change it and not talk about sample statistics and say, each occurrence, each sample taken from a population may produce different results or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What do people think about that?
Can you say that one more time, Michael?
Just the idea of taking out the word sample statistic completely from sampling three. So rather than saying samples vary and therefore sample statistics vary, say, something like each occurrence of a random sample will result in the different sample being observed. I don't know, something along those lines. So we're not actually mentioning a sample statistic because we don't need to. I think the point of this is that you don't get the same result every time.
Right.
And so we don't need to introduce the concept of sample statistic in order to say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Samples vary. I'm just trying to reword this, and I didn't write it when you were saying it. It's the fact that they vary makes like numerical summaries of the data. The samples can vary. The graphs of sample data can vary from one sample to another. So what is all that put together called? Can you say it again, Michael? I'm really sorry.
I don't know. I think we need to wordsmith it anyway. But you don't get the same result every time, right? That's
that was very, and therefore you don't get the same result every time. okay. Let me put something in for now, and we'll move on, and then see if we can come up with a better way of saying it later.
Descriptors vary, samples vary, and therefore sample characteristics vary, or sample...
I mean, what about something like, each occurrence of a random sample will be different or something?
From the same population.
Therefore samples from the same population will differ?
Mm-hmm.
We should say may differ.
Yeah.
It isn't guaranteed that they will differ.
Right.
Great.
Okay. Random samples from the same population.
May differ.
May differ. Almost surely will differ. Have extremely strong probability to differ.
Well, that's true. If you say may differ, sounds like probably they won't.
Right.
So we could say are likely to differ or...
Yeah, because what we had before was samples vary.
Yeah. Samples vary, and therefore samples from the same population vary. If samples differ, then the we're kind of saying the same thing, I guess.
Hmm.
We could just say samples from the same population vary. Different samples from the same population vary. New samples, different samples.
Samples from the same population vary, or each.
Multiple samples from the same population vary?
Mm-hmm. multiple samples from the same population vary. Well, let's move on to the next one. I like this one. The sample size is important. Larger sample sizes more accurately reflect the population from which they are drawn. Smaller samples, while unbiased, may vary more than larger samples.
I would put in there larger random samples and also smaller random samples.
Okay.
Because larger samples don't necessarily give you more accuracy unless they're actually random samples.
Okay.
Larger random sample more accurately reflects the population from which they're drawn.
And when you say may vary more than larger samples, you mean vary more from the population, right?
Vary more from each other, too.
Yeah.
We could even take out the may, because in just as a general statement, smaller random samples, while unbiased, vary more than larger samples.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we need a lawyer on our team to roll that out.
Yeah, I think it is.
Make sure we don't say...
Well, and you know, part of it is we're getting really picky about this, but we should also consider how audience is. I mean, I don't think people are going to go nuts if you say samples vary, and sample statistics vary. But I do agree that we're trying to do something well here and not use language that they wouldn't have to know prior to getting this concept.
I mean, I think the goal, is to simultaneously describe things for the novice, but also make sure we're incredibly accurate for the person who knows what they're talking about.
Yeah.
No, and you know, who knows? This paper could be thrown aside and not viewed by anyone, or, you know, maybe this could be the quoted paper to say, like, you know, here, you know, we all like this definition of all these concepts in one.
In which case, it would be worthwhile that we're really focusing on every word, which actually I think it's worthwhile anyway, because it really does make you think exactly what you're trying to get at.
Right.
Yeah.
So now we're on to number 5, which is, Tisha, what you wanted to talk about.
Yes. Can I just go, or does anybody else have something they want to say first?
No.
Go ahead.
Go.
I think that the whole reason that this came up in the first place was because of a section of the Lit Review that we have on distributional thinking. I think it was Chris Wilde's paper that he talked about, I think, basically Googling the word distribution, and he found that it went into two classes, and one was, like, these mechanical components of distribution. Oh, no, that's something else. Chris Wilde's was just the theoretical versus empirical. But someone else had something about, like, mechanical comparing center spread, et cetera, versus the conceptual, which would be, like, theoretical versus empirical. So I'm thinking that, you know, earlier today we had the discussion. We distinguish a sampling distribution from that of a population, from that of a single sample. That's what we need our students to do. I don't know if we need this, what's sampling 5 now, I guess, what this one here. Because I think it could be included in sampling. I think there could be an argument that it might fit as a component of distributional thinking as well. But in terms of what we really want students to accomplish, I'm wondering if we just don't do anything with this one.
I think we're covering some of the key issues there in other places, you know, the distinction between empirical and or theoretical.
Right. I looked at Wilde's paper the other day, and it said something towards the end that, something to the effect that, you know what, it takes some students a long time to really get this empirical versus theoretical. And when we get to the point where we want to talk about inference, I think that that is essential. But if we're not talking about inference yet, if we're just saying separately to understand sampling, variability, distributional thinking, and sampling distributions, I don't know if we may need to make this leap yet.
Yeah, I think it doesn't fit real cleanly under sampling. I mean, it goes beyond sampling a bit. I guess I'd be in favor of just dropping it from here.
I'm just reading it again to understand it.
Well, reading it's not going to help you that much. We didn't write it particularly well.
Yeah, I think we're just talking about sampling. This goes beyond that. And we are covering it in other places.
Yeah, I mean, this relates to the earlier conversation we had about, you know, the sampling applet and understanding each step of the process, right?
Yeah.
But I agree, it's not, I'm not convinced that it's sampling.
Yeah, I'm pretty convinced that it's not sampling, actually. And if anything, I would put it more in distributional thinking.
Yeah, and we do touch on it up there in the earlier part, the sampling distribution.
All right, so I just did a control X there.
Okay.
I'm going down to add a new row at the end of distributional thinking and copying it there for now and leaving it there.
Should we do Should we do a time check?
Yes.
After it's.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm okay with time, but I don't know about the rest of you. We probably should figure our next time to talk and get that settled while we're all here.
Well, do we want to go longer today? I can go longer today if people want.
I can.
I'm free.
Yeah, I'm okay too.
So you cannot, or you can?
Yeah. Yes, I can.
Okay.
Should we just keep going for a bit then?
Yeah. I don't think we get cut off, do we? Anybody know?
I don't know.
I don't
think
so.
It might not hurt to set up a time right now and then keep going.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to be gone all of next week. I'm actually going to Jordan for a week with my husband and some friends.
Nice.
So I won't be available at all next week, but if you guys want to meet, feel free. They don't even have internet at their house, so I know it's definitely a chance. The week after, I could do Monday or Tuesday.
Monday's Memorial Day.
Ah, okay, that's not good then.
I could do Tuesday, though, June 1st.
Tuesday, June 1st.
Works.
Would be okay. Or potentially Wednesday, but I'd rather do Tuesday because I'm actually going to the States for 3 days after that for my 20-year college reunion.
Ah, good for you. You're getting around.
I graduated it when I was 10.
Wow. In the presence of greatness.
Tuesday.
Well, should we go with Tuesday, the June 1st? And what time works?
So I'd have to do it earlier. I could do it this time. Like 2 o'clock Eastern, but I have another meeting at 4 o'clock downtown. It'll take me at least half an hour to get to.
Well, that works for me.
That works for me too.
That works for me too.
Oh, okay,
June 1st.
So we're on then for the same time we did today on June 1st.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll talk to Dean about that. I keep calling her Joan. I knew somebody named Joan Scott years ago, and but anyways, Jean. Okay.
You probably think you're getting her confused with the other Joan.
Right.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, that probably complicates it, too. I don't know. Yeah, all these things merge together.
Should we go on to variability?
Yeah.
Sure.
Did anybody have any comments on the variability one?
How does the first one read now? Variability?
The first one is...
Yeah.
Is natural, predictable, and quantifiable. It measures the degree of dispersion in an empirical or theoretical distribution.
I was thinking...
And here...
Yeah, go ahead.
Do we want to get rid of empirical or theoretical and just say dispersion in a distribution?
Yes.
That would simplify it, yeah. And I was thinking maybe moving the natural, predictable, and quantifiable toward the end of that. Get the definition out first. The variability measures the degree of dispersion in a distribution. It is natural, predictable, and quantifiable. And it's because starting with the definition before...
So leaving it all as var one, but just changing the order of the sentences a little bit?
Yeah, just changing the order.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
What does that mean, variability is predictable?
Well,
moment. Isn't that really just foreshadowing sampling distributions?
Yes, that's how I see it.
I mean, we could just leave off that last part to say variability measures the degree of dispersion in the distribution.
I think what they mean by variability is predictable is that we should expect variability. Not that you can predict what it's going to be, but that we should expect that there will be variability.
Maybe we should say that.
The variability measures the degree of dispersion in the distribution.
Or is it, I'm envisioning, I think it's an artist question somewhere, not in our assessment tool, but somewhere else, that talks about, you know, two populations. One is just a small town, and the other is college students. Which population would have more variability in ages, something like that? Is that what they mean by predictable? I say they because I think we hiked that sentence from something else in our literature.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I think so, too.
I've seen those kind of questions, and that, I guess that's where it makes sense to me, that it's predictable.
Why? I'd be inclined just to leave that last sentence off, because it is not real clear just what it means. And
just the variability measure of the degree of dispersion in a distribution.
Period. It's natural as opposed to synthetic.
That demonic variability that we can't measure.
Predict what we just said it measures, so it is quantifiable, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
Predictable takes more explanation to understand what that means.
Yeah, I'm happy with taking it off completely.
Me too. I think what the idea was there is that its variability sort of occurs naturally in virtually any data set that you're interested in. And that's sort of the heart of statistical thinking is all about trying to deal with this variability.
Yeah, maybe
but
that could be a point of its own to make that more salient and more explicit to just what we mean by it. Yeah, because I think we want these points pretty much to stand on their own, that we just say it and people know what it means. But if we say something
mm-hmm.
like it's natural or it's predictable, that raises questions. What do we mean by natural? What do we mean by predictable?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Tisha. I think we heisted that from somewhere else. And if we're not sure what it means, we probably did. So let's get rid of it.
All right. Keep life simple.
But I do feel like eventually, perhaps maybe not right now, but I do feel like if we cut it down to just this, that it just measures the degree of dispersion, then we give a specific measure, which is the variance of standard deviation, and then all we say is that different distributions have different variability. Somehow I feel like we're ignoring the wider concept of variability. We're bringing it all down to, like, standard deviation, which might be what all that you need for understanding sampling distributions.
But the issue that I think that's motivating here is the fact that students are very poor at, recognizing the implication that there's variability. Well, I think I come back to that example we had with the sampling distribution of N of 1 and people thinking every sample would give you the same result. I mean, that,
mm-hmm.
you know, remember the one I think Michael drew up? And they pick that choice where every sample would give you the same value. And so hitting that explicitly is a good thing to do. But whether it should be in the definition, I don't think it should be in the definition. It should be as a separate point that maybe gets a little more attention.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if we take it out for now, then we've got the three variability measures, the degree of dispersion and the distribution. After that, variance, an important measure of variability, is the average squared deviation for the mean. Standard deviation is the square root of variance and has the same units as the original data. Okay, so that's first we say, okay, it's like quantifiable measure of dispersion, then we give a specific one. And then after that we say different distributions may have different variability, and these differences must be considered when comparing distributions. Okay, so we're sort of saying here why it's important.
Should we move number three, switch number three and number two? Because number three is a general statement about variability, and then number two talks about a specific measure of variability called the variance.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the general, going from more general to more specific.
Right.
Okay, sounds good. Right. So maybe still there's maybe still missing some more general idea of variability, but for now let's skip it. Go on to distributional thinking, and then I'll think about whether I have a proposed addition to variability.
Yeah, to come back to where students really screwed up and which items are going to be particular diagnostic to problems with understanding variability, and have that in as an explicit point that we want people to attend to, because I was kind of shocked with how poorly students did on some things that I just assumed everybody knew.
And then, I mean, it comes in lots of things. Like the variability, one of the questions we have, which is looking at variability in samples, where the candies, and it's the Alex Chang Beverly one. You know, there you're looking at, they don't expect as much variability as they should, or they expected too much variability across the sample. So there's something, and there it's not really that variability there is not really dispersion of a particular data set. It has to do with variability across samples.
Yeah, of different samples, how much variability you expect.
So you've got variability within a single distribution, you've got variability comparing two, you've got variability across samples. Well, let me think if I can come up with some idea of something more general to add there.
Yeah, and I think looking at where they screw up would be a kind of a way to come at it.
Okay, should we go on to distributional thinking? So we've got the distribution of a variable is the overall pattern of how often the possible values occur. Okay, that's an interesting definition. Where did we get that from? I don't remember that.
I just threw that in yesterday. And we
okay.
don't have to keep it in, but I was just noticing that in the other instances, well, maybe not necessarily variability, but we defined some of the things and
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, no. I think it's a good idea too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's been a page break for me, so I just read your comment on the underneath on the next page.
the item we have on this that I think is well out of the chaos test is the one with the baseball averages. You know, a distribution of a variable, and students organize the baseball averages to look like a normal distribution, and they think So does this definition help us say, okay, this is that way of doing it's not a good way to do it?
Distribution of the variable. I kind of like that definition. I've never seen that before, but I think it's
I think it was from Jessica Utz. Line on statistics, maybe paraphrased a little bit. But.
Yeah, it kind of gives you a feel for, you know, when we're talking about spread, center, and shape, what are we talking about? We're actually talking about the frequencies of the different values. I like that. I think that we should definitely have some kind of a definition of what a distribution is before we say how it's characterized by.
Right. Yeah, that's a very simple definition. It seems like it's not quite complete or whatever, but I can't think of any way to improve it. It does get at sort of the heart of what we want here. How often possible values occur. But is it clear what we mean by the pattern of how often values occur?
So the distribution displays the frequency of how often the values occur? The frequency requires us to look at the y-axis, whereas pattern just gives us an overall sense.
But in there, when you say that, we're all thinking of a histogram.
Right.
But if you're just trying to explain what a histogram shows you, it shows you the distribution. Well, what is the distribution? Without describing it in terms of a histogram.
Can we say something like it talks about where they occur on a number line? That way it can include stem and leaves and dot plots and all that stuff.
First, I suppose you could say stem and leaf and dot plots are covered by this definition. They show the pattern of how often possible values occur.
Values occur, yeah. They would both work here. Now, these are all different ways of visualizing a distribution. And what is it that we're visualizing? It's this basic idea.
And we do get, like in point three, we are more explicit about graphical display histograms.
Mm-hmm. So should I add to that number three histograms, dot plots or something like that? Should we...
Yeah, we have histograms in there now, but you're thinking of dot plots and box plots.
I thought there was some intention about doing histograms, because I thought we said we were going to kind of rely on that in our assessments, and in particular, that's the one graphical display that we tested people about.
Yeah, I
thought at some point we talked about favoring histograms.
Yeah.
We do, but we do also have a dot plot in one of our questions, don't we?
The
biology.
Yeah, a dot plot's pretty close to a histogram. You know, the chaos test includes box plots, which don't actually show the shape real well.
Right.
So I don't know if that's a separate issue, I guess.
Yeah, I think, the sentence is in graphical displays, in particular for seeing their shape, that's not all graphical displays, it's just you see their shape. That's the point you're making, right?
Yeah. But I think it's fine the way we have it. You know, if we try to cover every variation, it gets too complex.
I quite like the definition that Tisha has added here.
You know, the more I look at it, the more I like it too, because I can't think of a better way to say it. It's just that whether I think it's fine for now, for sure.
It makes me realize I don't think I've ever given a specific definition of a distribution.
Uh-huh.
I think I just start drawing things.
Yeah.
And talk about, what do you think this means? And it's either the ages or the heights or the weights or the returns or whatever. I don't think I've ever defined a distribution clearly.
Yeah, the limitation is that pattern is pretty vague, just what that means. But then, as Michael was talking about ways to make that more explicit, and I start thinking about all the different ways that one can do that, and it gets way too complicated real fast. So maybe just saying in the overall pattern is fine. Anyway.
Well, I think DT2 is perfect because they're characterized by shape, center, and spread. Should we say tape center and dispersion?
Maybe dispersion is better.
So we don't get in trouble with our
other
clients.
I don't know if it's spreading. I just like a range.
I mean, the next thing about saying dispersion is that's the same language we used up in variability.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go with that. Dispersion.
And we don't want the lexical ambiguity police on our tails.
Exactly. That's it. And we used dispersion. Not only did we also used it when we talked about the two, the sampling distribution and the population having potentially different shapes and dispersion.
Right. Mm-hmm. Good.
Okay. Graphical displays are useful for representing distributions in particular for senior shapes. Do we want to say some graphical displays? Do we want to say histograms are useful for representing distributions and in particular for senior shapes? Because we do actually check to see whether students can even read a histogram.
Yeah, although we do have the other, we have box or dot plot.
But in terms of what they have to know to understand sampling distributions, you pretty much have to be able to read a histogram to get sampling distributions. Don't you think?
So you're suggesting just saying histograms rather than graphical displays?
Doesn't it currently read graphical displays, parentheses, histograms, etc.?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's pretty good, actually.
You like that? Okay. Useful for representing distributions and in particular for seeing their shape. Okay.
It does emphasize histograms, but leaves it a little more open. Graphic.
Mm-hmm.
You can do dot plots for some, or even stem and leaf.
Mm-hmm. Okay. DT4. We're good with? Normal distribution is an important distribution in statistics. It is characterized by a classic bell-shaped curve. Any discussion on that one?
Looks pretty good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then number 5 was when we discussed it a bit last time. Outliers unduly influence means and standard deviations and may lead to incorrect interpretations of a data set. I think that final wording of that is okay. The question I have is, why do we think that somehow is an important concept for sampling distribution? Just because the an outlier single sample can draw some means.
Right. Yeah, well, for sampling distributions, if you have outliers, they can mess up the whole logic. You don't get normal distributions very quickly at all if you've got outliers.
Yeah, I mean, I would say in extreme outliers may actually call into question about how quickly a distribution converges to normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or sampling distribution converges to normal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Cause
thank you. Sampling distribution of a sample mean converges to normal.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if we need to put that in as our meat, as a
no. Point. No, okay. No, it was just for me. But yeah, no, okay. That seems
that,
like
that'd be the relevance of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this looks better every time we go through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, only 120 more times and we'll have it down.
Yeah, I'm good about it already.
All right. I am now going to save this as the concept table May, what's today? May what?
19. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yep, 19. Okay, and take out all the edit stuff and give us the final copy, or a copy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so before June, okay, so no, the question is, now we don't need to link this to the questions, the assessment questions that was done yet.
Right.
What's the next step before June 1st?
Okay. mean, I think we need to do a few things. We probably need to go through this one more time, at least, and just really refine it again and make sure we're all on board with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need to go through the rest of the paper and really change that up.
Yeah.
To reflect, you know, the change of scope.
Right. And what, Michael, what have you, you said you made some changes on the most recent version. Is that right, of the paper?
Yep. And I can send those to whoever wants.
Why, could you send them out to just everybody after this call, just so that we can all, maybe that can be one of the goals for the June 1st meeting, is that we all read it up through the lit review part and look back at this table and see where we're missing things. We just kind of read it as is. Maybe people can jot down comments as we go, and we can, you know, unless they're like spelling stuff and, you know, little sentence rephrasing, we can do that. Too, but any sort of main points to discuss for June 1st, so that when we meet on June 1st, we can talk about ideas of the lit review relative to this table?
Sounds like a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm okay doing that. I'm just a little bit concerned that we're going to just step on each other's toes while we're reviewing it. Like, we're all just going to be doing the same thing, and I wonder whether that's the most efficient use of our time,
mm-hmm.
as compared to if, you know, we even take different sections, or I don't know, you know, or whether someone's willing to take kind of the major overall and just kind of.
Well, I know for sure that before the 1st, I'm not going to have time to look at it. We've got accreditation tomorrow and Friday, and then I'm leaving for Jordan for the whole long week.
Right.
So I know I won't be working on that. But. I mean, I was planning on reading through it briefly, but not doing like a major overhaul and sending things out before our next meeting. I won't have time to do that.
Right.
Is there anybody who would and wants to do that? Or?
You know, I'm happy to take a stab at it, you know, work on it for a day or two and just, you know, even if it's not answer questions, at least pose the questions where I think they belong.
Okay.
And then send that out, and people can review that, and so that we can at least work from. Because I feel like the paper was also introducing the whole idea of the assessments, and we're really taking that out completely.
Right.
So maybe I'll go ahead and, like, take out the sections on the assessment and offer any other suggestions or comments that I have along the way, and then we can work from that document rather than a document that includes something that I think we all agree we're not even going to be talking about anymore. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah,
that sounds great. If you wanted to give it a stab, that would be great. And by all means, do not be remotely timid that you're going to offend anybody or step on any toes with rewriting entire paragraphs or organizing or anything. I think both Tisha and I have no problem whatsoever.
Right.
So don't be shy.
Right. And then when you send it around, maybe make sure the date is in the title or somewhere on there so that we can keep track of what version we're dealing with.
Right. All right.
Okay.
Add that
sounds
on the
great.
List.
Yeah. Well, another good, productive day, I think.
Yep.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Okay, and I shall send this out right now.
Right, you're going to send it. I'll copy whatever Michelle sends out and copy it. And paste it into the document, so it'll all be in one place.
Okay.
Great. The only thing, there's still one, I still copied that part on empirical distributions versus theoretical distribution. I still left it just sort of hanging at the end of this table, just so we don't forget that we've had this discussion and figure out whether we need it eventually or not. So I'm just going to leave it there. Okay. All right, thanks, everybody. Talk to you in about 10 days.
Take care, everyone.
Yeah, have a good trip.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Please stand by.